We're all made up of stories. Our bodies and our minds experience these stories, and our cells remember them. Good stories are bad, easy or harsh, fair or unfair, joyful or sorrowful. Our cells remember them, and it is then that our new stories from that point forward filter through those cells and shape the way that we experience life. In the gospel today, Jesus uses his privilege to try to change people's stories, try to alter them. We don't usually hear Jesus and privilege together, really, but we always have a tendency to think about, Jesus not having any privilege, the lowly, the born in the stable, the hanging out with the outcasts, the relying on people's generosity to be fed. But he has privilege. We see that in today's gospel. If he didn't have privilege, if he didn't have some sort of status, he would not have been invited to eat at one of the leaders of the Pharisees. He would not have been invited to that house. Well, you could say, well, they wanted to keep an eye on him. They had an eye on him everywhere he went. They didn't need to bring him there. He had some privilege that allowed him, in a culture where honor and status was so important, to actually be there for that meal. Jesus wanted to use this opportunity, use his privilege, this opportunity, to change people's stories. He wanted to change the stories of the Pharisees. He uses parables, as he always often does, to have us process and think and work through stuff. And here he is in this meal with all these folks who have the status to be there. They have a level of honor and status to be sitting there in that place, and he's watching them. So he tells them the parable about where to sit when you're invited to the banquet table, about not sitting up into the highest of honor, not lifting yourself up, because what if somebody greater shows up and you're asked then to move? Honor and maintaining it was important. Don't risk losing that. And so therefore you come in and you sit at the low spot, right? And if the host says, hey, I want you to move up here closer, then the host is the one granting you the honor, granting you the status. We become judges where we like to judge ourselves with higher status, and so we become the ones that have it all, and we often will push others down as a society because of it. Jesus is warning us of giving ourselves too much honor. Let somebody else be the judge of that. So he's trying to change their perspective on how they see themselves and how they see others. Jesus also wanted to change the lives of as he used today, the poor, the crippled, the lame, and the blind. So he wanted to help change the stories of the outcasts, right? And so he goes and he talks to the person then who is throwing that party, and he is telling them, don't invite folks who can pay you back. Invite those who can't. Invite somebody who hasn't been invited, isn't invited to come to such things, who is seen as lesser. Invite them in to this banquet. Level the playing field. Give them honor that no one has given them before. That alone can change their story. They're worthy to be at the banquet table even when others say they're not invited. Jesus wants to change their story. And what would their lives be from that point if they know they're worthy and invited? Invitations, though, aren't enough. It's a start. We need them. But we can invite people into this place and treat them like crap. Right? I mean, it's not just about the invitation. It's about the connection and the relationship. So we have to turn not beyond that invitation, and we turn to the letter of the Hebrews. It helps us really sort out what's missing and expands on it. The letter of the Hebrews is a sermon. And the preacher, I'm sure, had been sitting with the stories of these parables and saying, oh, but there's more to it, simply inviting people. It's important, but there's something more. And so, again, don't know who wrote the sermon. We don't know who the preacher is, but he clearly had an understanding about connection, and he understood something about sympathy and empathy, I think. You can have sympathy for somebody and invite them to a party. Empathy and sympathy, they're not just two different approaches to confronting the emotional challenges of others. They are diametrically opposite responses in many important ways. Sympathy refers to the ability to take part in someone else's feelings, mostly by feeling sorrowful about their misfortune. Growing up, the only time I heard the word sympathy really I spent a lot of time at Grandma's house down the street. And she wrote sympathy cards. She had, you know, the stack of them over there just waiting for the proper moment to send somebody a sympathy card. The Southern belle that she was, it was proper etiquette, it was proper status. But you had to let people know, okay, I know you're in pain. We're going to send you some sympathy. And so she would write them up, and she would send them in the mail. It didn't even require her to actually be face-to-face. This could have been her neighbor. I mean, that's the way it worked. You know, it's all about writing cards, writing notes, handwritten stuff. Important, still is. So you didn't even require her to be face-to-face with whatever pain or struggle the other person was going through. It was just, I feel sorry for you. Sympathy actually creates this disconnection. It doesn't create connection. It's coming out of a good place. It's good intentions. But it's about, I'm over here, and you're over there. You're in pain. I'm in not. I see you in pain. Here's a card. I simplified it a little bit, but you understand. Empathy, it's a term we use for the ability to understand other people's feelings as if we were having them ourselves. It's not just an invitation. It's not just a sympathy card. It's a connection. Feeling where people are as if we are having those same feelings. It doesn't even have to be the actual same event that brought about those feelings. But if someone is in pain and sorrowful, we felt that. We know what that's like. We don't want them to feel alone in that, because it so easily happens when we're in pain. Empathy, it builds connection. Dr. Brené Brown talks about how that builds connections, and it is that connection that makes things better, because it's a real connection. There's nothing like knowing that you're not alone in something. This preacher in the letter to the Hebrews wants us to know that as children of God, we're called to a deeper connection with everyone else. Begins by let mutual love continue. We hear that right off the bat in today's letter, today's second lesson. The word love in there actually has to do with the type of love that family have. It's a love of kin, of connection. And back then, there wasn't the individual. I talk about it all the time. They were whole as a family. If one's in pain, they're all in pain. If one just took a nosedive, they all did. It's about being in this mutual love and having it continue. They're building a community. This sermon to this new thing, this new church, this young understanding called the Way, of trying to understand who Jesus is. And this preacher understands that it's about a love where you're in it together. It says, do not neglect to show hospitality to strangers. Well, you know, that is nothing new for them. They understand the importance of that throughout their entire history. Having been led out of slavery, had gone through that suffering, they know that hospitality to strangers is what they're called to do. But in this early church, it's thrown into this sermon as a reminder, we're supposed to spread the gospel, and traveling back then was dangerous. Even staying in the inns, in the motel, hotel, that was dangerous too. And so you really welcomed others in. God brings them to you. You welcome them in so that they can do what God's called them to do. Jesus sent out his disciples to do the same thing. Knock on the door. If they let you in, stay. Take their hospitality. Do what you're called to do. When it's time to go, go. We need reminded to be able to take people in and let them know that they're safe and secure. It's a safe place for them to do what God's called them to do. It says, remember those who are in prison. It's not just about, that's rough. They made bad choices. It's hard. They got removed from society. They're being punished. Yeah, I remember them. I'm sure that's tough. It's more than that, because it says for us to remember them as though we were in prison with them. Be in their prison. Our prisons aren't all covered in bars, right? We have our prisons that we put ourselves in, we put others in. Talked a little bit about that last week. Be with them in their prison as if you're there too. It's not about a sympathy thing, it's about being in the pain with them. Being there. Letting them know that they're not alone. And for those who are being tortured, clearly when this was written, there was some stuff going on. These listeners to this letter are experiencing pain. And so for those, enter into those. Have a relationship as though you yourself are being tortured. You're experiencing the pain with them. Not about sympathy. Jesus is about empathy. As followers of Jesus, we're called to create a connection to one another, to create a kin-like family where we're in this together. We're to move beyond ourselves, to get out of the I, me, me, and into a holistic understanding of the story. Because it's not about our story. It's about God's story. There's one story that we're all in this together. There's no more us versus them. When we follow on this path, when we enter into other people's pain in their journeys to allow them heal, it changes our story, it changes their story, but it's all a part of one story. One body. One planet. One divine story. Amen.